Session 4, Meaningful Work. Let's pretend you're on vacation, just for a minute. You interrupt your experiences at work for a blessed little while. And now, let's take this short break to talk about work, since you have a little time on your hands. Exactly what are we working for? Why are we working so damn hard? And how might we find happiness in the business of living in the years ahead? And yes, part of figuring out how to negotiate experience, how to make it meaningful, how to transcend its current bounds, is about figuring out how to better spend your time at work. This is where America's most famous naturalist, the founder of environmentalism, Henry David Thoreau, comes in. Thoreau the tree hugger, perhaps, Thoreau the lotus eater, but Thoreau the worker? Yes, Thoreau the worker. Henry grew up in a childhood of hard knocks, as is the case for kids in most working families. He was thrown from a cow at the age of 9, lost a toe to woodcutting at 13, built a makeshift cabin at 14, constructed a boat at 16, he built walls for his friend Ralph Waldo Emerson, constructed gardens, and even nannied Emerson's children. He founded his own high school, invented pencils, and became New England's most meticulous surveyor. And of course he wrote, maniacally. As Bill McKibben recently quipped to me, Thoreau is an American Buddha with a hammer and a hoe. And therefore, Thoreau is perhaps the best equipped thinker for us to rethink work in all of its forms. Meaningful work, meaningless drudgery, immoral work, manual work, and even compensation. Thoreau lived at a unique junction in American economic history, at a moment when the founders' agrarian union morphed into an industrial behemoth. And Thoreau spent most of his life trying to figure out how to live with this mechanized monster. Instead of opting out of the workforce, he opted in a dozen different, but always Thoreauvian ways. And in so doing, he left a path for us workers today, to follow. When you read Walden, Thoreau's most famous work, you are holding the detailed account of a man at work. What might look like a camping trip, a holiday from toil, is better understood as a return to meaningful labor. Henry went to the woods on the shores of Walden Pond soon after the tragic death of his brother John. John died of gangrene in Henry's arms. And when Henry went to Walden, he went with a very clear sense that life and one's life's work was painfully short. There is no time to waste when it comes to finding one's calling. He writes, "I went to the woods to live deliberately." Why does he do this? In part, it is to avoid reaching death and discovering that he hadn't truly lived. This, I think, is the true danger of working at the wrong job. It risks wasting what is always running out and therefore most precious, the time we have left. What is more scary than being unemployed or quitting a meaningless job? Perhaps it is working yourself to the bone, only to deeply regret the effort. So work deliberately, according to Thoreau. But how? For Thoreau, the choice to work on his house, or in his garden, or in his bean fields, or on his monumental journal, was what the 19th century American pragmatist William James would call a momentous decision. A momentous choice is one that is singular, perfectly unique, and fitted exactly to your life. No one else could write Thoreau's journal or build the 14-foot hut of self-reliance. No one else can do the job that you find most meaningful. There is a sense, when you work meaningfully, that you are performing a task the universe has reserved just for you. When I teach, which is my chosen vocation, it isn't because the paycheck is stellar, but rather because I'm trying to give my students something that no one else could. A certain style, a certain reverence for the academic material, a certain care for the subject that is uniquely mine. Meaningful work is, by definition, not fungible work. Work that could be done just as well by someone else. Of course, there might be better teachers out there, but they could never teach my particular class. It should be said that momentous decisions are those that cannot be foregone without also foregoing an opportunity to change your life. In contrast, meaningless work almost always involves trivial decisions, or those which, in William James's words, James writes, "These are the types of choices in which the opportunity is not unique, when the stake is insignificant, or when the decision is reversible if it can later prove to be unwise." For Thoreau, working himself out over the page was momentous. He wrote, "A journal is a book that shall contain a record of all your joy, your ecstasy." My grandfather, who you met in the last session, was a small-town pharmacist from central Pennsylvania who nearly worked himself to death to support his family, and he used to instruct his employees to, in Pop's words, "put yourself into it." He just meant work hard. But Thoreau would underline the deeper wisdom of my grandfather's advice. Meaningful work is the sort where you place your entire self squarely, resolutely, and thereby you find yourself. When you open Thoreau's journals or visit the site of his cabin at Walden, you find Thoreau the man, or rather his life in its vibrancy, but also you find its darkness, and this is okay. Perhaps his journal was a record of Thoreau's joys and gratitudes, but it was often the site of his laments and regrets as well. Through it all, however, his work was a record of his life, a reflection of what a man thought was meaningful, frightful, but also sacred. Work at its best leaves something of this record, regardless of our chosen profession. All of this is to say that meaningful work is absolutely personal. Yes, this seems so obvious as not to be worth mentioning. I can hear you now. "Yeah, I know, John. I know, Dr. Keg. When I work, I'm the one doing the work, obviously." But we oftentimes neglect this fact, and I can guarantee you that many laborers forget themselves in the course of their working days, lose themselves, and not in some beautiful mystical way. How many menial tasks have you performed, and only after their completion realized that you had been mentally absent in the process? I will say a little bit about the necessity of immediacy in meaningful work in just a second, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about here. It's much simpler. Picking meaningful work involves seeing one's own work as self-expressive. Thoreau felt this way with all of his writing, but most notably his journal, reflecting that, in his words, "the best you can write will be the best that you are." Now, apply this to your life. The best you can paint, or code, or counsel, or teach, or record, or advise, or account, or construct, design, lead, heal, the best you can clean and mend, this is the best that you are. There is what I might call an existential elision, or a connection between human work and human existence, one that Thoreau was intent on highlighting. This is not just the imperative to be all you can be, but rather a gentle reminder that your vocation begins with you. It is, after all, your life that you are spending at work. For Thoreau, accounting for himself was his most meaningful work. He writes in a journal entry from October 21st, 1857, he writes, "Is not the poet bound to write his own biography? Is there any other work for him but a good journal? We do not wish to know how his imaginary hero, but how he, the actual hero, lived from day to day." Let me go back to Thoreau's inkstand for just one more minute. In The Night Thoreau Spent in Jail, which is a play by Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee, not the general, Thoreau, the character, says to his interlocutor, Bailey, Thoreau says, "Writing your name can lead to writing sentences. And then the next thing you know, you'll be writing paragraphs and then books, and then look, you'll be in as much trouble as I'm in." This is humorous, but also in a deadly serious way, in a way that Thoreau the man could appreciate. Every significant act of work begins with figuratively or literally writing your name over the doorway of the task, making it your own, and then walking, jumping, sprinting, or stumbling through. In Henry's wide range of odd jobs and responsibilities, we hear a quiet, almost prayer-like insistence. I think it might go something like this. He might say, "This is my task. This is my own." Owning up to the work of our lives may seem easy, but in today's capitalist rat race, it's not. Craig, one of my students, a 22-year-old living in Lawrence, Massachusetts, a salesman at Home Depot, recently made this point very clear to me. Craig said, "Dr. Keg, I get high before I go to work. It's just easier that way. It's like I'm not there. Nobody notices or cares. I only go to work because I have to." 2 weeks later, Craig quit his job. Thoreau, a student of Emersonian self-reliance, suggested that each of us has a very limited time on this earth to labor, and that we must do our level best to exert ourselves, to express ourselves in the passing of days. At the beginning of Walden, Thoreau writes that in many books, the I, the first person, is omitted, but in his, it would be retained. Walden is self-consciously personal, narrated in the first person, because Thoreau believes his culture, our culture, needs a reminder. Here's the reminder. You matter. The I of I work matters. As he asks rhetorically in his first book, entitled A Week on the Concord and Merrimack Rivers, Thoreau asks, "If I am not I, who will be?" And it is this I that deserves to be cultivated in the work that we choose.